You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here, unfortunately, not in person, as we were last time we recorded.
I thought you were just going to say, unfortunately, with...
No, I sadly not in the same locale as Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
So on this week's episode, we had our bonus episode on Monday where we, I guess, technically Monday or late Sunday night. It was, I don't know, Monday morning. We did it about 7:30 a.m. in my bed in our hotel in L.A. right after the Vanity Fair Oscar party that we were at. Now I'm back in New York, which is devastating for me because I'm no longer in the same city as Julie. But we still have a lot of Oscar stuff to kind of debrief and discuss. There are some of the pre-Oscar events that we went to that we want to talk about, how I spent my Oscar morning, which was kind of intriguing. Julie had a very exciting run-in with a famous model that we need to discuss.
It really happened. I just listened to the episode, by the way, because we were so sleep-deprived. We didn't really remember what we said, what we talked about. Yeah. And I can't believe that you compared the Vanity Fair Oscar party, the iconically glamorous Vanity Fair Oscar party, to feeling like a convention center.
I know, never
like
before.
Like some pet that, depot or something.
Never before has that comparison been made, and I will probably not get invited back now. Both of us have been in this bubble of Oscar world, but there is other celebrity news out in the world, and we want to talk about the Katy Perry-Orlando Bloom breakup because it also relates to the Oscar party, and we have a take on that based on what we saw there. And lastly, a little bit about our favorite restaurant, Meghan Markle's sushi go-to spot, Sushi Park.
Which we're so upset. We wanted to go back there. We made a reservation, but we just ended up getting torn in so many different directions with coworkers and events.
And... Those pesky coworkers always trying to hang out with us. I feel like we let Meghan down in a big way because we really thought part of this week was going to be about honoring her. And, you know,
I know we keep vowing to watch an episode of her show.
We've been saying we're going to watch an episode of Suits. It's like how Jimmy Kimmel always says Matt Damon's going to come. He doesn't have time for Matt Damon at the end of the show. We're like, oh, and we're going to watch an episode of Suits. And we never do. It's such a letdown to all. We're really sorry, everyone.
Dude, I feel like Harry also has that same running thing with her, like, Meghan, I swear I'm gonna watch that episode this week. And just like he always has an excuse. So anyway, back to the Oscar party. Was there anything we didn't discuss? I think we want to start by talking about Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, because they were both there. Katy Perry arrived early. She was there for the dinner portion of the evening, which is everybody sits down and enjoys this amazing meal while watching the Oscar ceremony. And then later, Orlando Bloom walked in and Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux like were there to receive him. They both gave him a kiss on the cheek and posed for photos. And we definitely picked up on a vibe that they weren't together.
I will say that one of the huge stories on the scene was that I feel like a lot of people were talking about what was up with Katy and Orlando because they were both there, but they weren't spending a lot of time together. Did you ever see them interact?
Someone did take a photo of them
together.
They were posing. They were not very lovey-dovey, but I think on Monday, then a publicist released a
confirmed
statement on their behalf saying that they were both taking some space.
I want to take some credit. I never said this on the podcast, so there isn't proof, but I did tell one of our coworkers 2 weeks ago when Katy Perry's new single came out, Chained to the Rhythm, that she, I feel like I'm talking like a radio DJ right now, but like when Chained to the Rhythm came out, because Katy and Orlando, when they were dating, had this thing of like super supporting each other, you know?
Right.
I feel like one would post something about the other's movie or one, I don't know, like back and forth like that. And he did not say a word about her new single. He never posted an Instagram about it, never tweeted about it, didn't comment on it, showed her no love when her single was coming out. So like I said to myself, something seems a little weird.
You sensed it in the air immediately.
I could sense it in the Instagram interactions. But, you know, I feel like it was clear somehow at the party. She was spending a lot of time with Allison Williams. I saw them walking hand in hand to go to the photo booth. That felt to me like when you get to an event and your ex is there, so you latch on to your girl, you know?
Right. Well, I have to say that at one point I did go up to the bar because I saw there were a lot of starry people by the bar. And part of my job is to kind of like overhear what who's yeah. talking about. So I went up to get a Diet Coke and I didn't even realize that I was standing next to Orlando and he was speaking to Justin Theroux, and Orlando looked over and he did a double take at me. I wasn't even going to mention this out of
respect. Oh my gosh,
for
wait,
Katy.
Wait, I have three things to say. One, talk about burying the lead. Second, can you imagine having this interaction and not telling me this? I'm like really mad at you.
Well,
told me about this.
Out of respect to Katy, because I thought maybe they were still like
out of respect to Katy Perry. I can't believe you're just casually tossing that out as an explanation.
Like also, I'm such a threat. I did not want.
Oh my gosh, we're getting you on the Daily Mail, Julie. It's going to be like Mystery Woman. Orlando Bloom is going to be, you're going to be your dating. Oh, no, I don't want you. You're married. But like, I don't want to get too excited about this, but I love that. Also, Faye Dunaway thought you were on Game of Thrones. Now Orlando Bloom is like wanting to take you to, you know, Katsuya.
And I didn't even tell you about the person at the Hidden Figures party who just asked to take a photo with me.
Like a fan? Like they thought you were in Hidden Figures? What do they think
you
played?
Know,
like
complete...
John Glenn's sister? Like
this complete stranger said, a very nice gentleman, like, I'm just so sorry to interrupt. I'm sitting there alone. So I'm just so sorry to interrupt, but I need to get a photo with you. Can I take a photo with you? And I was waiting for our coworker Krista to be done so we could go to the next event together. So I wasn't doing anything. Who am I to deny a photo?
Did you say, like, I'll give you a minute? Like, did you act like holier than thou to him?
No. I was very nice. And so he turns around to get someone to take this photo. And he hands his phone to Jim Norton, who's like the head of Condé Nast. He's like the Jack Donaghy of my little I'm the Liz Lemon in this metaphor. So he hands the phone to Jim Norton, who like runs the company. I've never met him before. And poor Jim Norton is in the middle of, I'm sure, a high-powered conversation with someone. And this guy keeps giving him pointers on how to take better photos. I was so humiliated. And then immediately after, someone was like, oh, Julie, did you meet Jim Norton? And I had to explain that I had no idea who this guy was bothering him.
It's like asking Anna Wintour to like light your photo with her phone or something. But
wait, then Orlando left the bar.
Okay.
And he looked back at me in my direction. We shared like a long glance.
Wait, after the double take?
Yeah.
I'd like to also note for the record that Ryan, Julie's husband, was in the room, she's recording in, and she's waited till after he left to explain all of this.
Well, I think he would be very flattered by the attention.
Well, I mean, that should have been another. So we had a lot of reasons to know that they had broken up. I love your role in all of this.
I'm sure I look like some like D-list actress who was like in Hidden Figures, and maybe Orlando's just like a huge Hidden Figures fan, and he was like, wait, was that the girl who played John Glenn's sister?
What if Katy and Orlando were like kind of on the rocks, but like, let's see how things go at the Oscar party, and then we're gonna like make a call about our relationship, and then Katie's like, you know, getting her, you know, vodka soda with Allison Williams, and they're like standing by the bar, and then Allison's like, Katy, look, and she looks over and she's like giving her a heads up that Orlando's checking you out, And then Katie says to Allison, that's it. I'm done. I don't need this anymore. Like, I don't need to be at this venue where he's talking to some, you know, wonderful girl. Oh. And then that was it. My point is, you could have been the reason that they broke up. I think we're like breaking that here.
No. And
really
also,
this train of thought.
No, also, I didn't tell you because I don't, like, I'm sure I look like John Glenn's sister or something.
Wait, and then also, I wanted to throw out there that there was a lot of other related intrigue as one of our listeners tweeted at us because we weren't sure about this on Sunday night, but Miranda Kerr was there, right?
Miranda Kerr was there and has rebounded to be dating the Snapchat
Evan Spiegel, who's the CEO
founder
of Snapchat,
worth billions and billions of dollars.
And Kate Bosworth was like a big presence.
Oh, that's a very good call. She looked gorgeous. She had this amazing like, seafoam dress on.
But that means there were three Orlando Bloom exes, Bosworth, Kerr, and Perry.
That's right.
All in the same place. But like not that, I guess that's not that crazy for like a big Hollywood party like that.
Well, I love that Mick Jagger was there. Jerry Hall was there, his ex, all of their kids. But then Mick Jagger was also like laughing, talking with Lachlan Murdoch, who is Jerry Hall's recently acquired stepson, now that she's married to Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, interesting.
So I feel like there were a lot of these weird ex connections.
Oh, and were they having a court? Like, did they seem like they knew each other well or not?
Well, they were just like laughing. They were having a very fun conversation.
Fun time.
Right. Oh, but Carly Kloss. I'll tell my Carly Kloss story.
Okay, so if you go on Instagram, at Julie's account, you can see this photo. It might be on, is it on the Vanity Fair Instagram too? No, probably not. No, definitely not.
Wait, yeah. Guys, we have to stop rolling all the photos of Jennifer Aniston because we have this amazing photo of Julie. Absolutely no one said that, but I love that you thought that was a possibility. Thank you.
For a second I got confused because it's just you in the, I don't know, I forgot it was just you in the photo. Anyway, so this is amazing photo that Justin, our dear friend of the podcast,
Justin Bishop, shout out to Justin, who took all of the amazing photos
from
inside the party, and that's such a hectic job. I don't know how he did it because everywhere you look there's a huge celebrity and he does it with such grace.
Wow, that was a loving tribute. And he took this photo inside the party of Julie. It's a phenomenal photo, and you're kind of in the spotlight. It's just on you.
I'm holding a glass of champagne, and because I'm so chic, I'm also holding my cell phone and my cell phone charger.
And in the background of this photo, you see Carly Kloss, you know, the glamazon, 7 foot tall, like red tight dress. And she is enviously eyeing Julie. There's a theme to a lot of these stories that we're noticing.
I know. I really need to check Craigslist missed connections this morning. I feel like there could have been a lot.
Orlando is trying to reach you and probably Carly. So Carly's like giving, it's not like a death glare. It's more of kind of like game respecting game kind of thing. Like she's definitely like,
I love that you're taking. Right, right. No, she was very sweet. She was probably like, oh my God, it's John Glenn's sister.
We have to figure out who you, we have to do a deep dive later to figure out who on Hidden
Figures.
And like
how cute she actually took her cell phone charger on the phone with her. But so Justin took this photo and then he saw Carly approaching from behind and he thought it would be funny to get a photo of the two of us together. Like we're both these huge recognizable names. She is. So Justin tried to very coolly say like, oh, can I get a photo of you two together? Like, I'm Jennifer Aniston or something. So I tried to play it very cool. I was like, of course, of course. And Carly looks at me, is so confused because she knows I'm no one. She, like, looks down at my cell phone charger. She's just, like, thinks she's being punked or something. So she reaches out her hand to introduce herself. She was very sweet. She said, hi, I'm Carly. I said, I'm Julie. I said, you look amazing. And she said, I really love your dress. What is it? I said, oh, it's Nicole Miller. And she said, that's okay. She said, I'm wearing Naeem Khan. Like, you just have to go with whatever works for you. Meanwhile, this dress is like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that has been my harried, frazzled search. It's like more money than I spent on, you know, any dress ever before. But then she did pose for the photo, and I'm sure it's in the trash bin of Justin's night. Because she is, like, this 7 foot tall.
She didn't think it was, like, a make-a-wish thing, though, Julie.
Oh, I think she did. I think she really did, which is why she took a second to, like, introduce herself. So he did show me the photo, and it's, like, this huge 7 foot tall supermodel, which she is, standing next to, like, the troll from Under the Bridge who brought out her cell phone charger.
Please. Orlando Bloom's next girlfriend slash his dreams. You're holding back so much for me, and we're going to have a talk later, because I did not know the Orlando Bloom thing. I know this Carly story because I made you tell it to 80 people over the course of the past 48 hours. But you didn't show me the photo yet.
Of what? Oh, well.
Of you and Carly. I haven't seen that one.
It was really unflattering because it turns out you don't want to take a photo next to next a 7 foot tall supermodel. It's never going to turn out well.
I was thinking that with the photo. I took a photo with Emily Ratajkowski, who is great.
Oh my gosh, but I was so jealous because it's such a good photo and you guys look like a couple.
Oh, please. No, what I was going to say was that it's like, who is ever looking at me in that photo? It's like, you know, one like the most.
I was gauging the intimacy there and I was a little mad.
Shout out to Emily, though.
She was so cool. Yeah.
She was great on the live stream. We also had Pete Davidson on.
Cassie David, the Instagram star. So now we want to tell you about Tripod. That's spelled TRYPOD, hashtag Tripod. It's a new industry-wide effort to get people listening to more podcasts. So we want to ask you to share a podcast with a friend this week. It's a word of mouth campaign. Spread the word about podcasts. One of Josh and my favorite podcasts is Two Dope Queens, starring our friend and Oscar livestream co-host Phoebe Robinson. She's so funny, and it's definitely worth giving a listen.
Phoebe was on the ride with us this weekend during the rehearsals for the live stream and then the next day, and we got to know her well, and she's great. Big John Hamm fan, Phoebe. Two Dope Queens is great, and we're huge fans. So you should definitely check it out and use this Tripod campaign as a chance to find new podcasts and spread the word about them. Wait, let's talk about some of the events we didn't get to on Monday morning. The events we went to before. We've already heard a little bit about the Hidden Figures pre-Oscar party that you went to.
That was amazing. It was Friday evening at Spago, which, fun fact, the location where Vanity Fair's first Oscar parties were held. And wow. It was the entire Hidden Figures cast, Octavia Spencer, who was Oscar nominated, Taraji P. Henson, who is an all-star dream. I spoke to her. She's just so lovely. Janelle Monáe, who always looks impeccable and has a super cool hair thing going on. She had these two barrettes in the back of her hair saying love. Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. They were really cute together. Russell Wilson and Ciara showed up. They looked incredible. Pharrell does not go to any event without his ripped jeans. He was at that Academy luncheon in ripped jeans. And then here, Mahershala was not there because he had just had a baby. His wife had just had a baby.
I saw that and I didn't know she was going to have a baby right before the Oscars.
Right.
And also his... I don't know why I'm saying this. His Seliger portrait from the Oscar party was so good. Did you see it?
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was one of my favorites, yeah.
But it was also really cool because all of the families of the three women that Octavia, Taraji, and Janelle play had come out to Los Angeles. And everybody was so excited, as you would be.
And Katherine Johnson came, right? The 98-year-old.
She was supposed to come. She had a little health scare, but her entire family was there. It was a cool...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because these people weren't, you know, jaded by Hollywood or cynical. They were just so excited to be there.
It was just like an event for them to celebrate the movie.
It was a toast, a pre-Oscar toast.
Like the La La Land one.
What other events were there? Oh, Josh and I had a fun sighting at the montage.
Oh, Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan in a blue tracksuit surrounded by an entire entourage.
It was a lot. He must have been staying at the montage because then I think someone saw him a few days after that or something. sighting. He had a whole crew with him then. Ugh. That was a good sighting, but I didn't recognize him at first, so I felt kind of bad.
Well, I didn't have my glasses on, so I didn't either. And the coworker we were working with was like freaking out, melting down. But I did recognize that this guy had very great charisma. It was exactly the kind of energy you want emanating from Jackie Chan.
Also, we talked about La La Land on Sunday, right? No?
What about it?
That we, you know, that little movie La La Land. No, that the, we went to the toast for that on Wednesday.
Everything's blurring together. Did we? I don't think we did.
So no, we didn't.
Tell me about this, Josh.
Well, you and I were there. It was at the Chateau Marmont, and it was like a toast. And it was interesting to me to see because it was 4 days before the Oscars. And it was a pretty intimate thing for the whole La La Land team. But Emma Stone was there.
It was a seated dinner at a bungalow at the Chateau Marmont.
And it was very, like, decked out La La Land style. So there was, like, a jazz band.
They had the actual jazz band from the movie performing.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
And they had brought in cute park benches, like the park bench they do a little dance on at the Griffith Observatory out around the pool.
Emma Stone was there with her mom.
She looked phenomenal. Oh, and I think you can say what you overheard.
Her talking about Anthony Bourdain?
Well, okay, she's apparently a huge Anthony Bourdain fan.
She was having a very excited, animated conversation with someone about Anthony Bourdain's show, about it, in particular the Bill Murray episode.
And someone asked her, oh, do you have your Oscar speech ready?
Oh, yeah, right. And someone asked her if she had her Oscar speech ready. And she said no.
I thought she said yes. She said yes. Oh.
Oh, she did say yes?
Yes.
Wow, this is...
But you didn't want to blow her cover.
Yeah, I didn't want to blow her cover. You're right, she said yes. Because I did mention it in the party report, but I didn't say that she had said yes.
Right.
Okay, but my other takeaway was this is such a grueling... I know they talk about this on Little Gold Men a lot, the kind of like publicity tour you have to do when you're one of the big nominees in these movies. And like she, to me, I was just thinking to myself watching her making all this small talk and like almost at the end of the road and like 3 days and three nights away from the Oscars, like, gosh, I hope she wins because like if she did, like if she, I don't know, just so exhausted, like to put on all this time and FaceTime and small talk.
And also Ryan Gosling flaked on the
event. Ryan Gosling didn't come.
She had to do all the heavy lifting alone.
Yeah, and like to be the face of this movie for months and months because this debuted at like Telluride, right?
It was like a full 6 months of interviews.
Yeah,
and promotion.
It's basically spending 6 months of your life promoting something that you already finished working on. It's just such a strange thing to me in that way. Like it's not like anything else on other professions. I felt like if she didn't win, like I was just gonna feel. Apparently, her line was that she kept going around saying Isabelle Huppert was gonna win, but that was just like, a self-deprecating thing. Anyway. The director ended up showing up, the musical people, Rosemary DeWitt. It was like a whole little thing. Oh, also, and then from going from La La Land to Moonlight, on Sunday, I got ready with Trevante Rhodes.
Oh, which I haven't heard this whole story yet, so I need beginning to end.
So Trevante, I mean, most people probably are now aware of him, but if you're not, of the three Charons in Moonlight, like in the three different sections, he's the last one, so he's the oldest.
The super buff one.
Super buff, like... in a way that's crazy, which I now know firsthand. So Calvin Klein dressed the three different Chirons.
Which is really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it was. They made custom suits for each of the three. They obviously weren't like matching or anything, but they looked kind of complementary to one another. Calvin Klein, since Raf Simons took over there, these were the first men they dressed for an Oscars red carpet under his tenure at Calvin Klein. So they were all very excited about it. So as part of this, they all were at the Peninsula Hotel. They each got ready separately, but then everyone came down for like a champagne toast. So I got to his room maybe like an hour before the toast, and he walked in like sweatpants and a t-shirt and backpack. I was thinking like, he has to be down for this toast in like 20 minutes. Is this going to like happen? And it was like so casual. He looked like he was coming from the gym. And then he walks into like the back of the suite and his stylist, Ashley, who was awesome, she was there. And like his Calvin Klein suit was just hanging. And he's like, all right. He just tosses his shirt off. And we're all just like, whoa.
Gosh.
I know. I was like, I was not like giving you a mimosa first.
And Josh fainted. Yeah.
And then he was about to take his pants off, I think. And there's a lot of people in the room. It wasn't just me and him. It was like, you know, his stylist, like his dresser. There was a photographer who was taking photos for us. maybe like 5 or 6 people. So he's very comfortable, obviously, with his, you know, as he should be, because his body
physique,
is like...
Right. I'm surprised he even had clothes on when he walked in. Like, I would just be walking around without clothes all the time.
But he was such a nice, like, really low-key, but, like, really friendly. Like, he just seemed very kind of, like... He was going to the Oscars, but you would think from his demeanor he was going to, like, you know, his sister's graduation. That was a weird example. Like, just going to something really low-key, you know, like a doctor's appointment. Like, but not in, like a chore way. Gosh, I'm ruining this. But anyway, he...
Did they have, like, music playing? Like, what was the vibe in there?
They had, like, a tray of pastries and coffee, but no one really partook in that. He certainly wasn't going to have pastries.
Did you partake?
No, I was just trying to take in the scene. We suddenly closed the door for him to get into his pants. Then he opened it, was just still shirtless, and they like dressed him. This guy came to tie his tie, and I was saying, I need that guy in my life. He like tied his tie and like was making sure every part of the suit looked perfect, folding up the ends of his shirt sleeves and stuff. There was some dramatics related to what jewelry he was going to wear. Like, he wanted to wear one of his personal rings, and finally the stylist was like, sure. She had, like, had this other ring for him to wear in addition, but it didn't fit him. And then, like, she made some joke about all the Chipotle he's eating, causing his fingers to swell because of the sodium.
I would have fired her from my team immediately.
No, he loved it. He was like, yeah, Chipotle every day. Or like he said something like that. So apparently, if you want to know how to get the Trevante Rhodes body, it's just eating a ton of Chipotle. So he gets his rings on. Then there was like the tie. They were figuring it out. You know, they kind of had someone come in to do like last minute grooming on him. I wasn't in the room for that, so I don't know what that process entailed. It was like mystical. And then... he was ready to roll. He made some joke about this entourage of people with him, because there's probably like 15 of us by the time we were leaving the room. And then we all went down to this like ballroom in the hotel where Ashton and Alex, the other two, were. And the three of them posed for photos for this Calvin Klein promotion. And also, as some of you may have seen on Monday, the day after, Calvin Klein released underwear ads with Trevante and Mahershala Ali. So like that was part of this whole situation too. It was definitely like festive. Like the stylist made a comment, how often is it like such an event to like get ready to get in your limo to go to the Oscars? So it was kind of sweet. Some of their parents were there, like their families. Like it was clear these three like went through this amazing bond together, filming Moonlight, having this kind of shared experience, playing the same character. And they were all wearing these like kind of complimentary Calvin Klein suits. I don't know, just it was sweet. I was really, and they were all hugging each other. Aww. Like it's clear they all kind of have this like great, Ashton is like sort of, Ashton came into VF recently.
Oh.
And Ben Park took those amazing photos.
Ben Park,
yeah.
You should look up those photos. Ben Park really took amazing portraits.
He has a ton of personality. Like he was wearing these little sunglasses. He was like kind of like hamming for the camera. Like he's just like such a showman. And the other two are, you know, obviously performers as well. They just have a great dynamic, the three of them. And then there was champagne and everyone kind of like cheered for them and celebrated this happening. Like a lot of their handlers and people that had worked there. And Trevante was just super chill. And then his stylist was saying she was crying on the way there because she felt like this was going to be the end of the journey. Because she started working for him like at Telluride without knowing anything about him or the movie. She was just asked by his manager and like she felt like a connection with him. And then it turned into this phenomenon that won Best Picture. She was saying like she would never have known that it was going to become such a journey. And she was like really sad she wasn't going to see him every day anymore.
I want to find like the paparazzi photos of you in this Moonlight entourage, like walking to the limo.
There's a photo of me with Trevante, but it's like your photo with Carly. Like, it, no one wants to
wait,
see
it. Wait, I
want
to see it. Will you send it to me?
No. I think we can keep alluding to these, like, secretive photos. We'll post some of them, hopefully, if we can, like, work up the self-esteem to post photos of us next to, like, some of the most beautiful people in the world. Julie, we have to find some, like, ugly celebrities to pose with. No more, like, Emily Ratajkowski and Carly Kloss and Trevante. We need to get someone who, like, actually makes us look, like, vaguely okay. Anyway, but yeah, so this Oscar week was really, I don't know. I feel like we're going to still have things next week and weeks after that we can parse.
I'm just really upset that you're not in LA anymore. Yeah. It's not the same.
Our last note before we wrap things up is that I just needed to bring this up because I saw this morning on Daily Mail that Chris Martin and Jay-Z went to Sushi Park again on Tuesday night last night, which means there's now been 3 Tuesday night Sushi Parks at least since we went. That they have gone. And I feel like if that isn't a sign that I need to move to LA and that we have to start making that our regular you know.
I'm going to make Ryan go with me this Tuesday just to see.
What?
Or I'm not allowed to.
No, that's our place.
Oh, if anybody's listening has like 40,000 airline miles, they want to donate.
For me to come to Sushi Park for just 24 hours. But yeah, that's our episode. Thanks so much for listening. And please remember to rate, review us on iTunes.
Oh my gosh. And apologies to Meghan Markle again that we didn't get around to watching Suits. We'll make it up somehow. Josh, we should just like Skype and watch it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight to further discuss these subjects. Give us suggestions for what we should do next or, you know, I don't know.
Choose your own adventure, Giveth. Tell us what you want from us.
And you can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And mine is Jay Duboff. We have an Instagram for the podcast as well, In the Limelight Pod. This episode was edited and produced by our superhero, Alana Milner.
Shout out to Alana.
I know, Alana dealt with us on Monday at like 7:30 a.m. Thanks to Laura Meyer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. Thanks for joining us. And remember, as Meghan Markle tells us, no bad energy.